Hi, everybody, and welcome to the FinOps Nexus podcast. We're bringing you exciting, exclusive, and thought leadership interviews at FinOps X. Joining me today is Chris Jones from Platform 9. Chris, thanks for joining me.
Hey, Don. Thanks for having me.
Chris, what is Platform 9?
Platform 9 is a cloud operations business. So we started in the world of managed OpenStack. We're the people that sort of pioneered using SaaS to manage your private clouds. So we got into the OpenStack, obviously Kubernetes came along. We got into the containerization space and managed Kubernetes. One of the sort of remaining distributions of Kubernetes. And whilst working with a lot of people in the cloud, we kind of noticed that they were spending a lot of money. So for the past 18 months, we kind of pivoted the organization a little bit and we've sort of jumped into the FinOps space to try to allow people to reclaim their waste and reuse that, which is kind of different to sort of, you know, bin packing or waste reduction and those things. So now we're FinOps and SaaS cloud managed provider.
Chris, is this your first FinOps X?
This is my first FinOps X.
Well, congratulations. My first on-site FinOps X.
Yeah.
What do you think so far?
I think it's been pretty good. Last night kicked off well. There was a lot of people at the party, I guess, across the road at the Marriott. And this morning, I caught a little bit of the keynote from Disney, which was kind of cool.
I could just had Ellie on the show.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I saw that, and I caught the tail end. I got a booth duty.
Yeah.
But the takeaway from there, I really felt like it was, you know, once again, like getting everyone to collaborate and having FinOps as being that piece in the middle that can really bridge your finance and your product and engineering together. And then Uber got up and talked. So I'm really looking forward to catching both of their sort of more deep dive sessions.
I'm looking to catching the recording of it since we can't be on site to actually see some of the events, but we'll get the recording later. We'll watch it. We'll provide some more information and feedback, see the value of it for obviously the FinOps community and kind of provide our thought leadership around it. Are there any specific sessions that you're looking to attend here at FinOps X?
I think both the Disney and the Uber ones. Uber's talking about cost allocation, which I think is...
And bots, by the way, I think.
Yeah, they pulled up this thing. I actually had a really funny conversation yesterday. I was sharing how the first product that I came to ever product manage at Quest Software was the original cloud finance platform for Microsoft Azure back in 2010. They funded this whole, we should make it easy to understand your utilization of Azure alongside the bills that it's generating.
Yeah.
So Quest, with this product called Boxplane, built that, and what they had to do is they had to, you know, basically take your PDF report and scrape it. There was no API, there was nothing. And I was talking to someone about, hey, you know, ha ha ha, that's pretty funny. And this person was from AWS, and like, you'd be shocked about how many of our enterprises still do that today.
Yep.
And then, lo and behold, Uber pulls it up, bot to scrape stuff, and I just laugh. I'm just like, are you like, basically, what they're trying to do is they're like, all right, we've got our invoice. How error-free is it from what's out there on publicly available APIs? Which then made me think again. I was like, I also built a product to do cloud price arbitrage based on your utilization. So I'd go and look at like Google, Azure, AWS. I think since leaving that organization, they've added Oracle, some IBM stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's hilarious that here's this large enterprise that's essentially trying to build the same thing to make sure that their invoice is still correct and they're still having to scrape stuff from the data from the web. And that's what they're, I'm assuming, but I'm assuming that's what the bots are doing.
Okay, you're going to have to tell me more about that or the session. Maybe I can catch it later. This is like going back in time, like we're reinventing something we've already done. I remember website scraping, and you would just go there and scrape all the data rather than doing the API calls and pulling the information. The accurate stuff that's up to date. Now, any cloud provider updates your billing invoice even after the fact. They go back and adjust it. It could be a week later. It could be a couple weeks later, depending on the cost. They could have found something, but you got a PDF that's static.
That's astounding. That is, I mean, and then you have to compare them.
Yep. Which one's true?
Yeah.
Are they true or is my invoice true?
And then it's going to say, hey, don't worry about it. You committed to spend $5 million with us this year. You're on track to hit that.
Yeah, okay.
So at what point are you not on track? Are you going to exceed? And I mean, are they going to tell you?
So let's get back to FinOps a little bit. We can definitely talk about this for a while. So talk to me about FinOps, and do you see the value in it and that is providing not only for your company, for the broader community and organizations?
100%. So, I mean, like, we run in the cloud, right?
Yep.
We basically SaaSified OpenStack, which meant when you attach your infrastructure, we're running some OpenStack services.
Yep.
So you build a VM that talks to your SaaS control plane. That costs us money, right? There's a cog involved with that. Same with Kubernetes, right? We have SaaS that run all your Kubernetes clusters. There's costs involved with that. We had a free platform. I've got some blogs actually up on platform9.com that talk about some of that journey. And we obviously have to do it ourselves. So when I look at FinOps, I kind of go, well, we're a SaaS company. We need to do this. And when I look at the FinOps community, I think it's fantastic to see how it's allowing people to quickly learn from others so they don't have to make the same mistakes. Or maybe they go, oh, it's okay, we have made that mistake because everyone else made that mistake. Let's get together and learn. And one of the pieces that I think, going back to the scraping of stuff off a website, it's going to help is focus. That's the thing I'm looking forward to.
I definitely agree with focus, and I think it's bringing everybody together into having a common billing language, and where they did with a common FinOps language, so called the common lexicon for it. And what it does is it allows, you know, this is what an instance is, and now here's the same billing aspect and structure that can be easily digestible for any MSP or SaaS to understand throughout all of the hyperscalers. And then as everybody else comes on board, maybe as FinOps grows into outside of cloud, it still is a billing aspect.
Yeah, yeah. It's, if I think back to 2014 when I first had CIOs being like, oh, hey, we would love to know how much we're spending in the cloud. They were immediately always going like, but I've got two. How do I compare and contrast that? So it's amazing that we're a decade on, and it's taken an independent third party in a community of people. If you look at the contributor list to focus, it's pretty big. To get three of the cloud providers on board. The fourth one's coming, apparently.
It's taken everybody a while to, and excuse the pun, focus on this. I did hear that there's a potential release and update to focus coming. So whether it's today, tomorrow, or next week, let's just say, I know there's an update coming.
So they said this morning at the keynote, this is right when I walked out. It's now GA. 1.0 is GA. So it's taken a full year, I guess.
Yeah, they had it. So 1.0 is probably the release that they're talking about. That's the only information I got for it. But talking about a little bit more about FinOps is, do you see any emerging trends around FinOps?
Oof.
And if you say AI, we know that's the big one for it. So if you see something different, let us know.
So, I mean, I put a blog up 2 days ago on sort of the things I'm expecting to see.
Yeah.
I think pushing a little bit more on sustainability. I know some people might.
It has the fourth time I've heard that on these conversations in the last 2 days.
Well, because I mean, sort of it needs to happen.
Yep.
Especially with AI, you know.
Oh my God.
Running the power, the heat it's generating, therefore the cooling that's required. And then everyone's just pulling out their phone and tapping away.
Yeah.
But that's not a zero impact to the environment, right? So I think it's paramount that businesses that want to be able to communicate to their shareholders or maybe their employees their impact on the environment, if the cloud providers aren't giving them that data, then what can they do?
No.
Right? If they're trying to do a carbon offset, well, if you haven't got the data from your cloud provider, what are you going to do? If that is your major source of carbon emission generation, then you kind of need to be empowered to do that. So I want to see that change. I think there's going to be an interesting, data point in the world to see how much is truly coming out of these cloud providers. If you sort of pivot to Bitcoin, it's been lambasted for a decade now.
Yep.
About how much carbon it's generating, how much these Bitcoin miners were generating.
Imagine what AI is doing.
Imagine what just traditional cloud providers are doing, and no one's talking about that. It's probably way more electricity than the...
Oh yeah, they're probably consuming a lot more. And some of the major cloud providers do provide a kind of a sustainability dashboard to show you what you're utilizing within their cloud. And then you can take that and do all some reporting capabilities with it to see where your carbon footprint or even the offset is.
Yeah, yeah. The other thing is, I'm gonna say AI.
That's all right.
I said this in my blog. I'm like, all right, generative AI is not the thing for FinOps, right? You need time series data.
Yep.
So you need to be able to forecast accurately. And generative AI and forecasting numbers are not sort of the thing that go together. So to rehash what I've said already, if you're working with a vendor that are like, oh, we're AI enabled, really double click on that, right? Ask them, what's the algorithm you're using? What's the data set you're using? obviously, if you want your data to not be using for training an algorithm, express that. If you want it to remain private, express that. But really ask that question, right? Because there's been a lot of platforms out there for a long time, especially in that observability and monitoring space, that have used algorithms to forecast what might happen and do what-if analysis and stuff like that. So if you do have a vendor that's like, we're AI enabling everything and you want to get the benefit from that, you need to ask, what are you actually doing? Like, what are you using to do this? And if they say they're using generative AI and time series data, I would continue asking deep questions.
Can AI or generative AI, however you want to do it, is utilizing a lot of it to find the, you know, prompt basically data about your data set, right? So an example is, it's ingesting all of your data for your environment, and every day you have an automation task, not an AI, but an automation task that produces a prompt that says, here's my top results for that, and now you can dig in and ask specific questions around that data. How long has that been running? Did it just get deployed? Do we utilize it? What's the, you know, sustainability for it? But can't you use that
As an agent? Yeah.
As
a chatbot.
Yeah, because the thing that I was getting at is you said generative AI is not for FinOps, but is that different than what I'm asking?
I guess, yeah, no, that's a good point. So applying the chatbot piece to it.
And rather than, okay.
Instead of you having to be like, pull up a report, you could just say, hey, in the last 48 hours, who of my teams generated the most waste?
See, I like that question to be asked. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Rather than a standard one of a report, here's my top 10 every day. We can get that all right now without AI. We can get those reporting capabilities for your automation because we see that data. We see the trends.
The other thing you could do is plug it into something like a Teams or a Slack.
That's a conversational assistant,
yep. Right? Yeah. Yep. Good applied way of using a chatbot, AI agent. In the realm of FinOps, my brain from the world of being in the world of product always immediately goes into, well, what am I doing with the data?
Yes.
What am I doing with your data?
Well, your data completely, and are you taking my data and now using my data somewhere publicly? And then when was the last time that data set was actually used or trained on?
That's
the other aspect of it. If you told me it was 6 months ago data, well, my company's ever evolving every day, your data's outdated. So, and as long as it takes to train a data set.
And this is one of the problems with using AI models.
Yep.
Is that recency of training and monitoring all of the output. I mean, you can go really deep on this topic, but it's one of those things I would ask the questions. Like, how are you using it? What are you doing with it? And if it's touching the data and trying to forecast and do predictions, ask them. What's the algorithm set you're using?
That's a good point. Where do you see FinOps evolving over the next 6 to 12 months?
I think that standardization piece is going to be one of the big drivers. And I think it's going to start getting a little bit more deeper into the engineering world of, you know, all right, which language types are being the largest driver of waste. I remember once I had a conversation with the CIO of a large aftermarket ticket sales company. And they're like, I had a SQL query that cost me $20,000. I almost fell over, right? This was 2018, I think.
That's not uncommon, by the way.
Yeah,
I just don't realize.
It's like some engineer kicked something off and didn't realize, right? Yep. It's harmless. So I think I'd love to see a little bit more depth, right? I've always kind of said, you know, people throw infrastructure application problems. Well, in the world of FinOps, throwing infrastructure and application problems is increasing your cost, right? That pie is getting bigger and your sales aren't necessarily changing. So to solve performance problems and improve customer experience, you really need to get into that code level piece. Now, I'm sure there's some companies out there who are like, you're pitching application performance monitoring. But to me, those two things are one and the same, right? If you can tune a database query to make it more efficient, well, efficient should mean it costs less. So let's stop focusing on CPU, RAM, storage, network. They're the primitives, right? They're everywhere.
Yep.
Let's start focusing on how is that automatically generated Java query to the database? Is that the most efficient thing? So let's get the DBA and your software engineers, let's get them talking, right? Let's get them understanding at a transactional level what the cost
the transaction and everything,
and improve that. And I've, you know, over the years worked with a number of companies that have done that, that have sort of taken their database tools where they've had a lot more desire to make the database fast and efficient, and they've gone back to engineering teams and say, hey, you can probably write this query better. right? I think that's going to expand. I think people are going to start looking at, is there a more efficient way to either refactor my code, change the language, and optimize that way, and then bring in generative AI to start doing those code reviews for you and doing that refactoring, right? Maybe there's a quick high-level pass that can be done, and you might be able to save 10% per database query. Yep. And if you have a few million of them a day, maybe 1%, right? That's a huge savings. So that's where I'd like to see in the next sort of 6 to 12 months, the world of FinOps starting to get into is really a little bit more focus onto what's driving the infrastructure usage at the code and the database level.
Now, that's not even something new. Just the queries themselves and how much they're costing at a transaction level for companies. And it's easier to say, you know, give me everything at this rather than isolate the query to a specific fields or times, and that'll make it actually faster. Or caching the query and the results to be able to pull from that and making a read-only so you're not pulling in a database. All those are efficient things that we've been talking about for years. And to understand that, and I love how you mentioned that, you know, CPU, RAM, all that stuff is just, everyone has that. And understanding the underlying components of the application is critical. There's a couple more questions before I wrap it up. Do you see the FinOps role evolving over the next couple of years?
I think so. I mean, assuming that interest rates stay high, businesses are going to remain quite focused on, I keep on saying that.
I love that. You're just like nonchalantly throwing it in a...
They're going to continue inspecting what that spend is.
Yep.
If that persists for long enough, you'll kind of see that generational change thing happen where it just becomes the norm.
Yep.
So once that becomes normal, then that role is going to evolve in upon itself. So that person that's running a FinOps practice, maybe as Uber was sharing, it's expanding a little bit more into software asset management and license control, which the FinOps community will say, well, that's already been part of the umbrella for a while. But I think that's going to become, you know, more important as teams normalize into this. They're going to be like, all right, what else can we start looking at and bridging the gaps between?
Maybe the role will be called FinOps X as a variable. Sorry. All right, dad joke there. Sorry, man. Couldn't resist.
Yeah.
You know, like DevOps, DevSecOps, and it would just be called FinOps X, you know?
Or like MLOps.
Yeah.
LLMOps.
Oh, I've seen them.
I mean, LLMOps, I mean, September last year, I was at an event, and everyone's like, is that going to become a thing?
Yeah.
And you can see everyone's like, I really hope it doesn't. Let's not.
We should do like a Wordle or so. I don't know. That would be crazy. Chris, real quick, if you want to get involved, where do you recommend people go to learn more, not only about FinOps, but get involved in the community?
I personally find LinkedIn to be a great source, right? To start exploring and learning. Obviously, the FinOps organization site is super cool. I would say that's where I started. A little bit of FinOps, but then again, when I came back into this at the start of the year to really focus in again, this wasn't new to me.
Nope.
I'd been there in 2016 and was told, don't build a cloud cost management product. No one's going to want to buy that. It's still in the product today that I left. So I came back in with a pretty high level of knowledge already around the concepts and the challenges and what people are doing.
Yeah.
If I was starting at ground zero, I think maybe going out and doing some of the free training courses that are out there on FinOps, either search LinkedIn or Google or what have you, or ask Perplexity, might save you a bit of time. And start there. I think watching the FinOps X videos from obviously last year and this year as they're coming out is also a fantastic place to start. I found the content from Disney last year to be absolutely fantastic, where they're talking about, like, is it a spend reduction or a cost saving? I think if there's one video to watch, I think that's the video.
Ali Whitman.
Yeah, that's going to, it reframes your thinking, right? And it shows the enormity of the challenge that's at hand for large enterprises.
Yep.
So if you're kind of sitting there going, hey, how do I get going? I think watch that. Put it at 1.5 maybe, if you like me. I mean, if you tune out, hit pause and go back again.
Yeah, definitely. There are sometimes you have to do that, but so I watched that video. I've had Ali here on the show multiple times. She's great. And her counterpart, Ellie, who's joined us yesterday, you know, talking about being part of the keynotes, the sessions. And I think she has a workshop breakout session as well. So that's something I recommend today at 2:00. If you want to go check it out, I think it's like Cloudy, something like that. I just want to think Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs. I literally want to comment on it. But there's some great sessions. Are there any communities that you suggest getting involved with?
Being sort of new, coming back into this, that's not an area that I've jumped into.
Networking here at the event is great.
Networking, just walk up to people and say hi. One thing that everyone was talking about yesterday was like, wow, everyone's so friendly here.
Yep.
Which isn't always the case. There's some events you go to where it's a little bit hard to sort of, you know, break into a conversation. As I said, if you see someone standing around by themselves, just walk over and say, hi, my name's Chris. And have a conversation.
Exactly. The community is definitely growing. If you can't join the FinOps community or their Slack area, there's also one called FinOps Connect, which is the community. And it basically has the members and same those who can't join or join that. There's communities everywhere. FinOps meetups are good ones. We're going to be putting you on some. Cool. Get out there, talk, have a conversation. It's not, you don't sell a product. You're basically talking about problem solving, understanding it, getting past the initial stages and lessons learned.
Yeah. I mean, and every business is going to go through that thing. Yep. Right? Build, buy, don't do. Fortune when it comes to
buy. Oh my God. So the talk is a build versus buy. Why not both? Yeah, I don't know. Don't do is a good one to put in there.
Yeah, I mean, hey, the world of product land, right? Is there a problem? Is it pervasive? Are people willing to pay for it?
Yep.
Then you go to build, buy, don't do. Obviously, you land on don't do when it's not a problem or it's not pervasive or people aren't going to pay for it. But yeah, that's how my brain works.
Chris, thank you so much. Right? Great conversation. Yes, definitely. Everybody, this has been the FinOps Nexus podcast. Don't forget to hit that like, subscribe, and notify because guess what? We're out of here.